Okay, let's get going because, you know, we're already starting late and this is going to fly, as you all know. God knows I'm qualified to teach something about writing after work because I temped for many, many years and had to balance these notions of paying your rent and writing and trying to do that. And, you know, I'm going to try to present a balance of practical, pragmatic techniques and advice and things to do and some theoretical stuff about balancing these things, okay? It's really easy to kind of come home from the end of a hard day and just go, man, I don't want to do this, you know? And God knows we've all had plenty of those days. And the thing that's, I think, really difficult about this sort of thing is that your motivation has to be internal. There's nobody out there saying, go do this, right? And we really like external motivation in a weird way to the point where we'll actually drive somewhere to get it. Like you're not going to stay home and work out. But I'll get in my car, drive half an hour, and pay some stranger to go, one and two, and that's good, good energy, right? Okay. Well, there's not anyone doing that for you, right, as a writer. You know, and some of us do this on the weekend and try to give you some momentum in a way. But the truth is, you've got to be your own damn aerobics instructor, right? And that's hard. You're like, but this I can make a fudge sundae. The kitchen's dirty, you know? So you got to, you not just wanna, but you have to, you know, like I said in the speech, you know, life is an appealing distraction and a frustrating distraction. You've got to will this. So some of what I'm saying is actually going to be in opposition to what I said yesterday. You do have to establish some priorities. You do have to lay some ground rules. If you're married, if you've got kids, you do have to reserve some of this time for an environment. All right? Now, we all are going to have really different preferences and habits. So I'll give you some of mine, but you know, if you like to write it early in the morning when it's quiet before you go to work, I can't, my knuckles are still dragging the ground, I can't do that. But if you're a person who can do that, by all means, okay? So I'm not off, you know, this is all just, here's my process, and maybe you can mine from that things that work for you, okay? You know, the deal is always going to be discipline. And what I have learned over the years is that if you just sort of wait for the muse to hit you, if you write when you're inspired, you're not going to get as much done. And you kind of feel like, yes, but it's more honest work or whatever, you know, like, yes, but I was inspired. The rest is not inspired. You talk to anybody who writes for a living, anybody who's been doing it for a long time, and what you're going to find is that they have a schedule or a regularity. They have best practices, right? They have methods. And so rather than go, no, I'm not going to write for a month, but then I'll binge all weekend and write like 50 great pages, you're really better off writing 3 pages a day. You know what I mean? And allow yourself to write 3 bad pages if that's what it takes. In my experience, it's easier to fix 3 bad pages than it is to write 3 incredible pages. So write the bad pages and know that you can go back and fix them. They're like, you know, no one's going to see you in your underwear. It's okay. You can go back and do that later, right? So your motivation is basically giving yourself permission to suck out the gate. Another good motivation, if you need one, is to go to Barnes & Noble and pick a book at random and realize that it probably sucks and someone got it published. And rather than be mad, God, why can't I get published? This clown's published. Realize, if this clown got published, I think I'm probably okay. I realize that's a sort of negative motivation, but if it gets you going, it gets you going. All right? So, but the deal is, find a, just off the bat, before we talk about work itself and all of that, find a time that you can set aside a block. And maybe you'll have to play a bit with that early morning, late at night when everyone's asleep, and ensure that it is a writing environment in which you are not interrupted, in which you are not going to have the illusion that because you just suddenly left your, you know, word processing program to cruise the internet for 45 minutes, you somehow got something done. You know, if you need to turn off the internet, if you need to have your own dedicated machine that's not online, whatever the hell it is, the deal is you need some focus. Some, you know, there's a lot clamoring for our attention in this world. right? And you know, you got to put your ass in a chair and stare at nothing and type. And that's hard. You know, it's boring. It's not romantic. You know, I can't think of great movies where the camera is excitingly showing you great books being written. It's a dude going ding, right, at best. So find an environment, literally a physical space, but conceptually a time, a space, a comfort zone, if you will, that works for you. If you're married, if you've got kids, you're going to have to negotiate a little for that. Sometimes you're going to have to say, you know, can you handle this for this 2 hours a day, whatever the hell it is? But let's do some math. If you write a page a day, that's 365 pages a year. That's a book. That's not bad, is it? Two pages a day doubles it. Probably is a book. Ain't hard to write two pages. What's hard to write is two pages every day, right? So, but you start doing that kind of math, right? You know, if you're so busy that you just go, you know, I used to ride on the bus as a temp, you know, going places when I wasn't driving early in Los Angeles. Like, this is downtime. Boom. Right, you know. So I would kind of cumulatively and in fits and starts provide that space, okay? But the deal is to have something where every day you are sort of achieving the same goals, you know. Now, writing a novel, even when you don't have a job, it's kind of like digging through a mountain with a spoon. You know, if you look at any one day, you're like, wah! But after a while, you're like, wow, look at that. You know, you've got to understand that. You've got to allow yourself to understand this is incremental. Your sense of progress will feel thwarted, but if you do something every day, it will add up. This is how canyons are made. Okay? Pardon me. So how do you do that? It's self-imposed pressure, isn't it? So I think that targets are good. You know, by this date, I'd like to have this much done. We don't have whiteboards up here, so it's a little difficult. I used to, when I taught this on a weekly basis, I taught a course in this. Basically, I had a writing chart, and I recommend doing this. I still will do this sometimes. Establish a goal for yourself. Don't be crazy. All right, realistically, I think I can write, let's start 5 pages a day. I think you do 4 or 5 pages a day. Okay, have a calendar or some kind of graph thing, and at the end of that day, write down how many pages you wrote. Or if it's a word count, I want to write 1,000 words a day. Okay, write down how many you wrote. Add them up at the end of the week. Divide them by 7. After a month or two, you'll probably realize you have some pretty consistent numbers here. The average of those numbers is what realistically you can do, right? That's kind of where it's coming out at. Maybe it's under, maybe it's over, all right? But after a few months, you can kind of reasonably say, this is kind of what I can be expected to do. That now readjust your calendar. This is what I'd like to do every day. I said I'd do 1,000, turns out 1,200 or 800 or, you know, whatever. Go, oh, you know. It's okay, you know. And don't be mad at yourself. If you're consistently coming in at like 80%, you need to downgrade it by 20%. But don't be mad that you're going under. Don't give yourself a hard time. That's that many more pages than you had done, isn't it? Right? It's progress. You're getting through the mountain, through the tunnel, okay? So cut yourself some slack here, you know. It's just incremental. What I used to do every week was actually make everybody tell me their percentages. You know, and there's nothing like looking at, like, you know, he did what? Right? Competition, you know, can be its own deal. Your problem is going to be, you know, that you don't have that. But if you have people you can do it with, or forums in some online way, you know, look at what Nike did with runners, right? You know, get on, like, hey, I ran this week, you know. So they have these informal challenges, really just to motivate you, not to beat anyone. Okay, so if you need things like that to motivate you, that kind of thing is available to you. Okay, I'm writing a book in a couple of months right now. I set 10 pages a day as my goal. And I
do you know how many words that is?
About 3,500. And I did it when I was about 50 pages into this book. It took me almost a year to write the first 30, 40 pages of this thing. And then it sparked for me. I was like, wow, the book just went blah, 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 blah. I had the whole book in my head. And something in me went, do this fast. I mean, crank through it. This book wants that adrenaline-fueled, toast burnt at the edges kind of thing, you know? So I went, screw it, I'm going to write it in a couple of months. I'm going to do 10 pages a day. Now, maybe it takes me 4 months. I wrote a book in 4 months, right? So what? Oh, I was wrong. Poor me, right? You know, I'm perfectly happy to cut myself some slack. I had to because I'm like, you know, not only did I have the course load, but they added an extra course and they added the speech. And I went, either a whole lot of people are going to go, wow, you suck, or I'm going to have to back off on the book a little bit, right? So, you know, you do have to let life impinge, right? I do have the wonderful luxury of being able to lock myself in a room and go, if it takes me 2 hours or 13, I'm going to get 10 pages done, which is nice. I mean, it's wonderful. I don't take that for granted at all. But the deal is maybe I only wrote five pages a day. You know, I got to tell you, at the end of a month, I went from, you know, this to boom, right? You're like, wow. I mean, that's like, well, I think I'll get through this mountain, you know? And it was nice. And the hard part for me was kind of what I talked about in the last session. You also have to give yourself permission to suck. You have to go, you have to get that critic off of you who stops you cold. You have to go, all right, you know what? Be willing to say, put good stuff in here later. Placehold, whatever, you know? I'm a stickler for research, and I'll stop a book cold for months and months while I investigate crap. Don't do that. You know, learn how to parachute here. Well, you know, whatever, right? The problem is some of the details that would come out of that shape plots and all can be a little difficult, but that's why God made the internet, and then you're allowed to be online. My deal is I actually stay online, but I turn all the email off. I'm like, okay, you know, I'll do that. The internet is a resource for quick, spontaneous, hey, I don't know, how do hyena penises look? Whatever the hell you need, you know, is right there for you. And so it's worth the few minutes for that. So again, that's a comfort zone thing. Right, but you know, this is just a long-winded way of saying, don't be disappointed if you come under. Look at the progress that you're making. Okay, I hesitate to talk about this because there's a lot of debate about this. So this is just my opinion. Okay, because you love books, because you love words. And writing and language and grammar, writers tend to want to get jobs that have to do with that, right? If it's typing, if it's proofreading, copy editing. My experience in myself, my life, you know, and with other people is it's really easy to feel as if you have done what you want to do during the day so that when you come home to write, you feel like, man, I did that all day. And what you're doing in your daily life is enough like that to give you the illusion that you have progressed in your own thing. So my personal advice, and again, absolutely subjective opinion, okay, is, you know, your job shouldn't be too close to home in that way, you know, or at least be aware of it when you go, I don't want to do this anymore. You've got to find some way to make the distinction. Now, I was a temp for many years, and it was great because I'd be like, I ain't going to work for 2 weeks now. I'm going to write. I've built, saved up a little money. Got to go. Bye-bye, you know. You know, I was a word processing operator, so I wasn't, you know, typing crap, but it was crap I didn't care about, and I was just a vessel, you know, I'm not paying attention to this, and I type really fast, and, you know, it's like dishwashing. When you're doing that, you're not really, I'm over here thinking about stuff. So that worked real well for me. I've done an awful lot of things publishing related, and they do own you. Once you start becoming an editor, man, you sit down and write, you're like, I don't want to do this now. So my feeling... I'm a less confrontational person than I used to be, but my feeling used to be fairly confrontational, and it was really just a selfish motivation to get stuff done. And that was, I really kind of had a hostile relationship with my job, all right? Now, this doesn't mean I hate all you people, blah, blah, blah. It means you are holding my life hostage. And if I don't write today, that means I gave you the bulk of my conscious time so that the guy who owns this company can build a redwood deck or something. Right? So, in order to feel like my life was not held hostage by being a wage slave, If I even write 2 pages today, you funded my deal. This supported what I do. And whether you even believe that or not is almost immaterial to me. The thing was, that's what would move me to write. As I would think, I did all this work for them, and what I want to show for having given that over so that I can pay rent and eat and be alive is that it allowed this, right? This is the roller coaster that I waited in that line for, okay? So, you know, and beware of the job you absolutely love. Pardon me, I'm drooling. You know, beware of that, right? You come home all satisfied, you're like, where are we going tonight, honey? Right? And it's real easy to that satisfaction, you know, unless you are like me. I was really fortunate to have jobs that also let me write while I was at work. That's the other secret one, right? As a temp word processing operator, boy, it turns out I am done with my daily stuff, right? And I had no hesitation. You had nothing for me, I'm gonna work on my stuff. You know, I had the incredible good fortune when I was a word processing operator for the English and History departments in Gainesville to have the director come up to me once. I was working on, writing my stuff one day, and he said, I was writing my stuff, and he said, can you not do that right now? I'm really sorry, I'm out of all this. He said, could you just read a book or something?
Why?
I'm like, what? He said, you're not really allowed to use the state equipment to create your own stuff. But if you read, it's okay if there's nothing for you to do. And I'm like, really? You know, so I'd sit there reading. It was the weirdest feeling in the world. But then I talked to them, and I'm like, do you mind if I stay after work? And they were like, yeah, you know what? If you, this is back when, like, you had to use the cartridges and the IBM. Oh, please. My word processor was not gas-powered and made of wood. You know, it wasn't the Flintstones word process. What was the ball printers that would turn? Why can't I think of the thing?
Daisy wheel.
The daisy wheel printers and the electric balls and stuff like that. So that kind of stuff was expensive back then. And they were like, if you will provide your own ribbons and all that other crap, you are perfectly free to use that. So I would stay after hours and weren't use their equipment because computers weren't, you know, word processors then were standalone. So I established, I sort of negotiated a space. And the cool thing for me was, and this is just another trick to throw out your way, I had an office that I was at that I was working. And that concept, the idea that, you know, one of the hard things about working at home is there's a lot demanding. There's your TV, there's the backyard, there's the neighbors, there's the 7-Eleven down the street, whatever the hell it is, there's a coffee shop over there. You know, it's to act like you're at home. What I do, I work at home now, and what I do, you know, I could get up and stay in my pajamas all day. I get up and I do my wiki wiki dance, and I get dressed in clothes, not in a suit and tie or whatever, but I get dressed in like good street clothes because I feel like I'm going to work. It just does that for me. I feel like I am not going to slouch off. You know, you're wearing your shoes at home in an office, you feel like you need to work, you know. So it helps enable that for me. It's just a trick I'm throwing your way, because you work at home, it's really hard. There's always stuff pulling at you, even if you're there alone, right? If you can negotiate a space at work, it's the same, I'm going to work, because it's got a little office, you know. So again, it's the environmental thing. The environment actually kind of helps support the thing itself. It feels cool, typing in my office. And it's a $100 billion office or whatever, you know, it's nice, it's fun. One of the other things that I'll kind of mention is an issue of priorities. You know, we lie to ourselves in all these ways in order not to write. All right, now here's the deal. You guys spent a bunch of money and used a lot of your time and resources to come here for 3 days. In an exhaustive marathon process, you could have stayed home and written 50 pages, right? Now, you're investing in a future, you're investing in making those 50 pages better and more professional and more saleable and all that. But clearly, you understand that you are able to find the time, resources, motivation, and energy to devote 3 days to your writing career. So clearly, you have just now demonstrated that you can, in fact, write your ass off for 3 days if you really need to. If I pull out a gun, go up to your dog and say, give me 50 pages or I will shoot your dog, you'll probably go, I can do that, I guess. You know what I mean? You can do it. All right? So the resources that you're doing here, you have enabled yourself. Clearly, what did you just do? You just provided yourself the time. You know, if you need to do it, you can go rent some cabin in the wild splendor of the Meryl Streep looking pier, you know, and stare at the windswept dunes and moon over your keyboard and write for 3 days for a little less money and about as much effort, right? So you already know by virtue of being here and of taking the time that you really can do that if you need to. So you cannot lie to yourself that you don't have the time. You don't have the initiative. You've just proven it. Yeah, you do. What you're doing is finding ways not to do it. That's harsh, all right? That's harsh. But here's what life does. It makes you make these decisions. You know, when I teach the stuff about digital stuff, I always have at least one person in the class when I talk about ebooks and doing things yourself who's really resistant. You know, but look, I just want to write the book. I don't want to put this together myself, and I don't want to do this and do my own marketing. I'm like, then you don't want it as much as this guy who's willing to do it. Now, no one wants to hear that, but it is demonstrably true, isn't it? Yep. So the choices you make are demonstrating how far you are willing to go to do this. Now, that's harsh, but that's the truth. If you do something instead of writing, you decided to. If you argue for a limitation, you always win. All right? You write anyway. Anytime you write, it is almost a flipping the middle finger up against the forces of entropy, the tug of life, you know? It is a kind of an act of resistance because just leading a life is a full-time job, isn't it? And if you start to feel like that has to command all of your time, it will. Every beautiful thing that's done is done instead, in a way. It's an act of will. Every word you write is always going to be an act of will. Doesn't mean it has to be conscious, self-conscious. But knowing that, that sounds like I'm handing you this intimidating sort of, you know, onus on you. But here's the deal. Then it's your choice. It's empowering. You can do it, can't you? Right? So, you know, I'm not like Mr. Cheerleader motivational speaker. But what I'm trying to do is show you that, in fact, you do make decisions all the time that are every bit as demanding and easily replaceable with sitting down and writing a shitload of words. Okay? So you know you can do it. That's all I'm saying. You already know you can do it. Here you are. Okay? How many of you have kids? How many of you have children who are present who how many of you have children who can play some role in whether or not you are going to be writing? Okay? That's a toughie. I mean, you know, it's a toughie. That's a tough balancing act that requires help. You know, if you have a spouse, you do have to negotiate that time because kids have no loyalty to your writing career. They need that thing now. And I know I do think
when they're in their
30s. I heard that happen to a kid once. And I think it's okay to stop and get up and go and do that. And I know it's frustrating to sit back down and go, what the hell was I about to do? I don't have kids, all right? But I understand that, you know? And I did mean it yesterday when I'm like, you know what? You can write good books. You get one chance to be a good parent. There's no do-over on that one. So making that sandwich, take a long view here. Maybe you don't know what you were going to sit down and do, but if you trust that you're creative, you'll do something else. That'll be creative. It's okay. It's when your life consists of always getting up out of that chair that you need to negotiate a time where you were in that chair. So you do need cooperation somehow. You do need support. You need help, all right? Even if it's just running interference, okay? And, you know, that's, you may have to trade off on that, right? Which is fair, you know. If you'll finally mow the damn lawn, I will watch the kids. Whatever, okay? But it does add something to the equation. And then there's the notion of responsibility itself, right? You know, one of the things about being single and not having kids throughout most of my life was I can live on ramen. Right? That's a choice I can make. It's not some noble suffering. It's like, all right, I can get through this and keep doing what is important to me. I say jokingly, but I mean it. I would rather eat ramen on my terms than steak on someone else's. Okay? But you can't make that kid eat ramen. Right? So you get some agonizing decisions. So you'll find your own private Rubicon that you cross, and it will be different for everybody. If what you know you can do for your career and to develop, because it's a full-time job to develop a career, you know. And I'm saying this only to make you aware that it's okay to let that go and help what needs to be helped, take care of your responsibilities, but also to know that it helps you to stake out some territory, to know that there is a line that you need, and it's okay to ask for help to maintain that line. It's, you know, it's selfish, but it's you're sitting down writing something, you know, that's kind of selfish. It's, you know, I mean, you're any act of art is, it's not functional, it's not utilitarian, it's not necessary, right? You mean, there's no point to it in a sense. You have to make it happen. So you just have to say, I have the right to want this. So the decision where that line is going to be different for everybody. But knowing that you have it, knowing where it is, knowing that you can negotiate that space, okay, is important to know. It makes you feel like, it helps remove the notion that you're being held hostage by the forces of your life, okay? So I don't have a lot concrete. This is where I'm talking about conceptual stuff. But I think knowing it helps. Knowing you can get help with it helps, you know? And I had somebody, you know, come up to me after the speech yesterday, who said, you know, I've got two kids, and thank you for what you said, because I was feeling terrible that I was resenting my kids because I'm trying to do this. And he kind of realized, I really also want to be a good dad. Like, that's a piece of art too, you know, his work. And that made me feel great. You know, I mean, it made me feel really good, because it's okay to decide that. It's okay, you know. So you don't dig through the tunnel today. But over the longer term, the consistency is what you need. Okay? Any questions so far? I'm throwing out a grab bag of ideas and techniques and things like that. So let me stop, because you know I can go on forever. So, yeah.
Some people say that it doesn't matter what you write as long as you're writing every day. Like, it's kind of like an exercise, or, you know, that you have to kind of keep up with. Do you find that easier if you sort of map out an idea and you sort of run with it and you try to focus on something every day, or do you agree with that?
I don't disagree with that, but it's not what I do. I think that what works for you, you know, Robert Heinlein said, if it makes you feel luckier to hold your hat when you play poker, why shouldn't you hold your hat, right? So I think that if it makes you feel like it helps your process or it's good for you, then you should do it. I don't like outlining, but that's a personal preference. I feel like the impetus that causes me to get the thing down has now been sort of, has had its outlet. You know, that kind of makes me feel like I wrote that. So I don't like to work from outlines. I know in my head, I don't want anything between me and the page. Whatever conduit, the fattest pipeline I can have between me and out there is what I want. So I tend not to outline beyond like a bullet list, you know, remember, guy dead, or, you know, whatever. Gun went off, Joe died last chapter, whatever the hell it is I need, you know. So for me, I don't like outlining. And I don't really write much else but fiction. I don't journal. I do a sporadic blog, you know. But I don't feel, for me, I don't feel like I need to write anything something every day. I feel like I need to write fiction every day. But that's not a recommendation. I do think, as I learned when I went back to writing after years of not doing it, that in fact I was rusty. That my prose, but also my judgment of the prose, was a little off. Like I said, the bicycle wobbled when I got back on, you know. And so I do think that the mechanism stays oiled. My experience also is that the more you write, the more you write. You know, that the thing in your head that makes stuff up, if it is engaged every day, gets really, really good at making stuff up, doesn't get stuck as often. You know, if you just write when you're inspired, there really is a pressure. You sit down and you're like, you know, or when you sit down and you're not feeling that way, you feel stuck. But when you're used to coming out with words every day, the other trick I'll give you that for me has been invaluable is when I leave off for the day, I try not to finish a scene. I try not to, because then I get that now what thing. But if you're like, I'll stop mid-sentence. You know, maybe I don't even know where it was going to go, or I forgot. I don't care. I look at it, and there's an arc I'm projecting, and so I'll sit down and I'll read the last couple pages where I left off, and I feel like I've got the momentum and I know where I'm going. And nowadays, man, there's no hesitation. I read it, boom, 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 thump, and I'm there. Like I'm reading sheet music, and other people are playing, and okay, now there's my part, and I'm coming in. That's how it feels to me now, and I think it's a good trick to not be stuck. To leave yourself in the midst of something. Because as you write, you remember, a part of you is a reader, right? Weirdly, there's a part of you writing your book to see what happens next, right? So keep yourself in suspense. Wow, where is this guy going with this? You know, I don't know, he's weird as shit, but I'm with him, you know? You know, maybe it's a trick, maybe it's perfectly legit, I don't know. It makes me feel better to hold my hat in my hand when I play poker. You know, that's the deal for me. So I think it's a good trick.
Question I have, because, you know, when I started writing, and of course at that time work was a little slow, so I thought, great, I need to look busy, I'll write a novel. And that went swell. And then after a while I got to where I was good at it. Not that everyone else here isn't good at it, but I was good at it. And, you know, you get an agent and all of that kind of stuff, and then they say, well, you need to tighten this. This is 90,000 words. Could you cut it down to 20?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so you say, 20? Well, I need to do that in order to be able to sell it. And then you need to do this and you need to do that, none of which I really like, but, you know, this is, you know, I got an agent. Hey, I'm lucky, all of that. So now, instead of just putting out my 4 pages per day, I'm putting out 2 pages per day, and I'm going and doing radical advervectomies and radical that.
Advervectomies.
All of that. So that I trim it down to where, okay, finally it's at that, and we start going through that drill. Now, since, you know, you really need a blog. You got to have something out there, you know, so that when we sell it, they can go to your site and see that you're a presence in the universe, and people come and read your stuff. So now I'm supposed to be writing a new novel, editing the last novel I wrote, and writing this dumbass blog, and, you know,
Not to mention
Phil Graham, who doesn't think we're in a recession. Now I have to work 60 hours a week because we're in a recession and our clients are only paying us half as much, and my boss still wants to take home the same amount. He doesn't want to have to take a pay cut.
What you're actually saying is, you know, I don't agree with this, and I need to decide how much I want to, how much I'm willing to shut that door, right? Your struggle isn't whether to do it. It's, you know, you don't want to do it. And if I say that, I will lose this opportunity through this person. And that's a hard one to make, right? It's like having a day job and the boss says you have to do something well out of your job description. I can say no and I'm within my rights and I might get fired, right? So that's a toughie, isn't it? I mean, my answer is you have to know how much you're willing to do for what you are doing, how much you're not willing to do, and that's always going to be a personal decision and a tough one. I'm willing to do more than I used to be, because I used to be like, I am a genius artist, how dare you question my judgment? Why don't you just critique Picasso for saying he used too much blue, right? Now I just kind of feel like, you know what, if you're creative, you'll come up with other ways to do things. But you do have to know at what point this thing is not your child anymore. They're like, we'd like to perform some plastic surgery. By the way, you're not the father, you know, and you kind of have to, there's a point, you have to know what battles to choose. And that's always going to be hard and always going to be personal. And my feeling about that, and for what it's worth, is if I were in your position, I would try to find a diplomatic way to say, I would rather focus my energies on the work itself to make it the best it can be and the most saleable thing it can be, rather than diffuse that in ways that I think don't focus on what will help you as an agent and me as a writer, you know, or find some kind of comfortable way to convey that the hell I am, you know. And I mean, yeah, that's hard, you know, but I do think that nowadays writers have certain unfortunate things they do have to do beyond the scope of writing, but that doesn't mean you have to do them. You're allowed to say no, you know. But it's
on a book tour and book signing earlier this year, and I hated that. You know, I'm traveling alone, I'm staying with people I don't know, or paying huge hotel prices. I'm away.
And the limos are always so dirty at the airport.
All my vacation. I mean, I got it maxed out at you know, 100% of what they allowed me to have, so I got that reserve for the book tour, you know?
Yeah, because, yeah, exactly. I mean, it went three times more than what I got paid for it, you know, because it was an essay. And then,
again, you know, as a mercenary, right, my, that's part of the reason that I kind of kept temp jobs, and you know, was I felt I didn't at least have to deal with that loyalty that can conflict you. When it comes to an agent and career opportunities, that's a tough one. You know, and I'll step away from my normal indignation and stubbornness and say that, you know, there is a sort of feeling that is not untrue that, you know, your first sale sometimes is to bend over and grab your ankles to get published. I mean, that's kind of some people's attitude is, you know, if it gets you in the door, you're going to have to do some things that maybe you don't agree with or want to do, right? I don't think it's wrong or even dishonest. I just think you have to know at what point you're lying to yourself. You know, Hollywood is notorious for that. You know, you have some idea, you're at some pitch meeting and there's a whole bunch of people and they find the stupidest element there and suddenly it's about that. And, you know, you're like, okay, well, yeah, let me, you know, so you come up with this great episode of, you know, some incredible show and they're like, yeah, you know, let's put some intelligent cockroaches in it. You know, and you go, yeah, okay, you know, and you have to know when you are saying to yourself, what is the best television I can write about intelligent cockroaches? When you're like, all right, am I doing this for the money? Do I want to do this? Am I lying to myself? You got to know that, right? And when that starts to happen with your work, I mean, it's such an individual thing. But in a way, you're really saying, what is the price I'm willing to pay to get in the door, all right? The only caveat I will offer is that when somebody sees you wear a certain kind of hat, the next time you see them, they're like, how come you're not wearing that red hat? So when you do something you don't feel represents you at all and get it published and then turn in something completely unlike it, they're like, what the hell is this? You know, so you need to be careful about that sort of thing in a career sense. You know, that's kind of all I can really give in the way of advice. I think it's an agonizing decision. You know, you're looking at a career. I've walked away from a lot of money because I just have felt like this is not what I wanted to do. It's just I don't want to do this. You know, so you know that's a toughie, and I've never regretted it. You know, you kind of sit there going, well, I kind of wish I had the money, but I don't regret not having done the thing, you know. And I do know that the things that I have done that I felt bad about have haunted me. That I've seen them years later and gone, man, I wish I hadn't done that, you know. But again, you know, you also need to be willing to live with your mistakes and learn from them. And, you know, that's the horrible thing about publishing is you carry your house on your back. Your past follows you. You know, I mean, look at me. I wrote this first book when I was, you know, 19. You know, and it's kind of weird to have somebody come up and go, "That's the best thing you ever wrote." You're like, "Thank you." I mean, you know, you just have to live with that. You know, and you know, Asimov complained about that once. You know, that Nightfall was his best short story to people, and he wrote that when he was almost a kid. You know, and the guy wrote 400 books. You know, so you know that's a toughie. But again, you know, knowing yourself and what's important to you is a toughie.
I had a question for...
I didn't mean to get so deep. I'm really sorry.
Can I ask a question just generally? Because one thing I've tried to do is try and get everything done in my life at the same time so then I have space to write. And it never, I can't do it. I can't get my house clean, my car clean, my bills paid.
So, yeah.
And I even have a cat who loves to drag socks around.
Well, Hemingway said you can always...
So I have my living room with socks, and I have to, like, pick up all the socks before...
Hemingway said you can always tell when a writer isn't working because his kitchen is spotless.
That's me, so yeah. I'm really trying to change that, you know. So now I'm...
You need to learn to live with...
You say...
Yes, I don't.
My house was clean.
Yeah, I'm... You know, and...
100 years from now, who will know the difference?
That's right.
And I'm actually like a total OCD guy who really likes to do his house and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, you'll kill us a breeze. But I'm perfectly willing to let things get dusty in exchange for this. That's a fair trade to me.
You know?
Not to neglect your life and what's important, but...
I never would do that, but the overboard kind of to create space. Because I feel guilty or something. But then I started going to the library. Has anyone done that? That's helped me.
I'm definitely one of those people who I work well in the midst of hubbub. Like, it gives me something. Like, I can't work around TV, but if I like do that cliche, go to Starbucks, you know, and order a coffee, you know, there's a certain engaging, lulling white noise that I can work in opposition to, like tune out to focus on. That helps me. Because otherwise, the deafening silence can cause you to seek distraction. You know, and again, this is the kind of thing I'm talking. It's good to air these things because we all have such different things, and at least this kind of allows you to have some choices to work from. Absolutely.
I can't write at Starbucks. If I'm trying to write at Starbucks, I see somebody in the corner talking. I can't hear their conversation, but she's clearly upset. He's clearly saying something he doesn't want to say. And instead of writing this story, I'm wondering what that story is.
Well, I didn't say I don't yell at people who yell into their cell phone.
So I can't do that. But it's just like I can't. I like to make song lists that I think fit the mood of my book.
That's a good idea.
And play them, but it has to be, I can't have lyrics. It can't be vocal.
Yeah, I was like that for the longest time.
Because
then I'll sing along with it, you know. And it got to where I could write my book and sing along, and that's kind
of
wacky.
Lots of classical and lots of jazz.
Yeah.
And I'm the other way around, because the first thing I do is turn on the TV and then I turn on the computer.
Wow.
In the other room, but I want that noise behind me.
Yeah, to me, it's a conversation that I want to listen in on, so it's tough for me. I eavesdrop on the television, you know. This is great. Can you see the amazing range of things at work? So it's great to hear this.
Let me ask another question. This is not what I should do, but what do you do when you have all of these, you know, you have all these things you have to do for your career? You've got to edit the last novel you wrote. You've got the one you're working on now. Do you just do one at a time? Do you get yourself a clone?
That you'd like, you know, I'm of the opinion that people don't, that people can multitask, but not necessarily do everything well.
Yes.
At least that tends to be true for me, and I am somebody who does an awful lot of things. I'm doing a lot of stuff at once. I mean, I have a whole other career as a DJ. I'm much better known as a DJ than I am as a writer. And so it's kind of, again, it's scheduling. Instead of trying to do everything at once, go, like Monday, I try to do my financial stuff, you know, or a day for answering my fan mail, emails, whatever, you know. So I try to have times that I do certain things, you know. Monday is also my day for doing my podcast. And that way you don't feel like you are abandoning something. You know what I mean? This is the day that I do this, so it's okay. And instead of like, when I can find the time, I'll get to that. So to try to structure things in a way that allows them to have their separation, very valuable. But yeah, when it comes to books, you know, they don't give you any notice. Here you are, boom, 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 and then they go, yeah, we just FedExed you the galleys. We need them back in 2 days. And you have to go, man, I got, all right, that's what I'm doing now. You know, and it's frustrating, but it's part of your job, you know, to do that. You know, you think that you're, you know, I have just spent 20,000 years working on this book. I've sent it to my agent. Well, your agent's going to call you up and go, yeah, I kind of want you to do this to it. And you thought you were done or whatever. But with experience, you know that you kind of built in that cushion. You understand this is going to happen at some point. So you can't act surprised by it. And you can't be disappointed by the need to do it. You know, you do have to build that in. But you just have to understand that you know, that it's part of your job, you know. John Lennon said that life is what happens while you're making other plans. Mm-hmm. And that's true of your career as much as it is of the life outside of your career, you know.
Because we're really trying to sneak in two lives is what we're doing.
And I'm telling you, what writers tell you over and over again at these things, don't quit your day job, you know. I mean, when it comes to like, you know, you've sold that book. Absolutely true, man. You're just so eager for it. It's your Everest, and you haven't looked at the mountain range, you know. And you really need to know what kind of longevity you have, or what kind of or what's in the pipeline for you. You know, you're just so eager to go, oh, thank God, I can get out of this, you know. And it's so hard to resist that. I did it, you know. I've done it a few times. Ah, out of here, right? And it, man, you know, it can be tough. And it's especially tough when you know that you can get so much more done when you're not working, when you've quit your job, right? Mm-hmm. It'd be very frustrating how much slower that progress is. To me, I've also known plenty of people, and I have been one of them, who find they get more work done when they have a job. Part of the reason is your day is structured. Mm-hmm. Your time is known, your free time is known. Part of the reason is the motivation of, oh God, I've got to get out of here, you know, or whatever. So I think that's perfectly understandable, because when you can do anything you want all day, then it turns out I can do it tomorrow, can't I?
Yeah,
right?
That's my problem.
Then you start running out of tomorrows, or somebody's knocking on your door going, yeah, power bill now, right? So again, it's that, you know, that self-imposed pressure is tough. Really hard when, you know, especially because when you first quit a job and do that, it feels like vacation. Mm-hmm. I think I'll wake up at the crack of noon, you know, and I can catch up on all the old episodes of House, you know, whatever the hell it is.
Writing, I'm going to kill zombies.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really tough, you know. For me, all my life, and I don't know why this is true, but I have always heard the ticking of the clock. You know, I know that I have been... wasted plenty of time, you know. I dread the notion that, in fact, when you die, they actually show you a real-time movie of your life.
Yeah.
Because I'll be like, again? Really? Again with the porn? You're going to... No, no. I don't want part, you know what I mean?
You don't have to watch that.
You know, how much of my life was spent going... Or just looking at the refrigerator going, what did I want? Or what, you know what I mean? Right? So you got to understand that, yeah, that's part of your life. And but you can't, you know, I mean, it's really hard to motivate yourself. But I do. I hear the ticking of the clock. I always have.
You know what?
Always have. I want to live to be 1,000.
Yeah.
Not out of selfishness, but because there's so damn much to do. You know? And so, you know, and as you get older, of course, that tick gets deafening. But... You know, I mean, that's a hell of a motivator. I seem to be good at the negative reinforcement today. You know, right, because you're all going to die.
I would argue against that, because I worked and went to school, and when my kids were finally out of the house and I quit my job because my husband retired and he said, you're going to keep working, and I said, in your dreams.
You negotiated a space.
That's right. Suddenly there was this whole lifetime opening up. All my life had been structured before.
Mm-hmm.
Every minute was structured in some way, in terms of school or childcare or work, and doing the housework in the evenings. And all of a sudden I got to make my own schedule, and it was just great. I loved it.
I don't see that as an opposition to that, though.
It doesn't feel to me like life is ticking away. It feels to me like life had opened up and I finally have to do what I want.
But I mean, another way of looking at it is you are now cashing in the dividend of the prior.
Yeah.
Right? So, okay,
I
waited in line, now I'm on the roller coaster, no room for you here, gonna ride, bye-bye, now bye-bye, roller coaster, gonna vomit now, bye-bye, yeah, you know. So in a certain sense, you are making a cost-benefit analysis,
yeah.
Right? Okay, I gave this, so now this is mine. That really, that's still, it's not the urgency of the prior stuff, but you are going, I'll tell you how I know it is the ticking of the clock. If I said, no, you're not going to take that time for this, you'd say, the hell I'm not.
Yeah.
All right. So yes, I'm taking the time for this. The time is important, you know, but yeah, the ticking of the clock throughout, you know, is, you know, but my thing is, yeah, well, you know, the universe can hit you with a bus anytime it wants, you know, so... Gosh, I'm just really Mr. Cheerful when it comes to... Yeah?
I just have one other thing that has helped me, and I just wonder if it's helped anyone else, is I make what we call writing buddy appointments. So we meet somewhere, because you have to be there, right? And they're counting on you, so you sit down and write together.
You know, there's a lot of... the internet is really wonderful, too, for environments like NaNoWriMo, you know that? Where write a book in a month.
Right,
NaNoWriMo is going on right month. That's all this huge thing. Write a book in a month.
Novel writing month.
Yeah.
Really?
And there are spaces, Los Angeles is good for this, San Francisco is good for this, where people kind of use their house as a public space, get online and say, okay, everybody come over and just work. You know, total strangers to show up and use the space, and they take advantage of the sense of beehive hum. And I think there is some motivation in, well, this guy's getting something done, mm-hmm. Right? And I have mixed feelings about this notion, because I, you know, the same way I do about writing workshops and groups that meet, go, like I said, you know, yesterday, go ahead and do that if you need to do it, but do not disguise Don't lie to yourself about the fact that writing is something you do by yourself.
That's what I'm trying to do when because, I do that is avoid.
But I think you're not meeting to critique each other, right? You're not meeting just.
We need to wrap this up because we're pretty much at noon here. So anything else while we're at this? My like I said, I don't have like definitive answers. My whole point in all this is try to air a whole lot of techniques and ideas that maybe you can mine that will work for you. Okay, so yeah, just we'll have to take this and then run.
Really quick, so you clearly read a lot and you share a lot of other people's writing with us as well, and it seems with your day structured with work and the writing and life, there's not a lot of time for reading in there. Do you still try?
Oh, I'm just an intolerant curmudgeon who just doesn't have the damn patience for bad writing anymore, so I don't read much. I mean, I'm not even joking.
Okay.
I mean, I really just can't stand to read much anymore. I feel terrible about that because I used to read a book a day. I lived, breathed, ate, shat, slept books, you know, and this is going to sound arrogant, and I don't mean this to sound arrogant, but there's a point at which I don't have the patience for mediocrity. I know how this works. I know what fraud you are trying to perpetrate on me. I don't like to hear the typing when I, you know.
I don't have enough hours left in my life to spend
two
of them.
That's editor for me. Being an editor.
Yeah, well, it is kind of being an editor. That's a critical thing.
Being
so
an
my. I believe me, I don't recommend this to anyone. You know, I feel the loss of that in my life, but I really do have a sense of. I think about magicians who watch other magicians. They know how it all works. Mm-hmm. So a good magician is not a magical guy. He's a guy who fakes it really well, right? Mm-hmm. And I think about, well, God, the magic's gone for these guys. And that's unfortunately a necessary component of learning how tricks work, you know? But I feel that childlike disappointment. I mean, the bunny wasn't really, you know? But by the same token, the people who can startle me when that rabbit comes out of the hat, I feel like, look, I really know how this works, and you just totally got me. And you got me for reasons that I understand and can explain and maybe teach or share or whatever. So I don't feel suckered. I don't, you know what I mean? I feel like, wow, you're a good magician, right? So that, but that's going to weed out so much stuff. Like I said about paying attention to movies, it's going to ruin movies when you go, I bet they showed me that watch for a reason, right?
Yeah.
You know, I have enormously mixed feelings. I miss reading, but I gave up on Stephen King with Under the Dome. I wrote a blog about it. I wrote a breakup letter. I'm still over between us. We've grown apart, you know, because there's a line in Under the Dome about 30, 40 pages in where he's doing this kaleidoscopic sort of intro to all his town, and he says, but through the magic of narration, we can return to the guy on the tractor. And I'm like, do you even give a shit anymore? Through the magic of narration? Really? Did you really need to yank me so far out of the movie I'm in the lobby? You know, and I felt like, and I didn't even feel that sort of contempt. I felt like, no. Yes. You were Stephen King to me. Don't do that. Yeah, disappointed. Like, you know, like he owes me something, you know. But
does he not have editors anymore?
Well, and that's exactly the response. And just like
Carl said that here 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And nobody will edit Stephen King.
Who's gonna, you know, let's carve our initials into the goose that lays the golden egg. J.K. Rowling is the same thing. J.K. Rowling needs an editor so bad it hurts. But who's gonna do that? Well, I mean, you can look at the progression of the books. Not only do they get thicker, they get like really sloppy. Because no, you know, I call it George Lucas syndrome.
Uh-huh.
Right? Nobody, you know, he's surrounded by, oh, you're so brilliant, George. He needs friends who are like, George, dude, you know, maybe that kind of sucked.
Yeah, shot first.
You know, so
shouldn't you read classics or something to just kind of get around it?
Well, the reason they're classics is, you know, classics are contemporary books that have survived the test of time. You know,
some of them, when you read them, I mean, Louisa May Alcott, you know, gee, I don't know what I'll get shopping that listlessly.
I mean, my personal feeling is, despite my intolerance, you learn from any book you read, even if it sucks, if you ask yourself why it's good, why it sucked, you know. Right? Knowing why is what I'm talking about. That's craft, you know? And so mistakes, you know, again, it's the magician thing. I know how he blew that trick. That helps me. Don't blow that. Yeah. Don't do that thing that
he
did
there.
There's
a lot of progress in learning that it sucks on page 5 instead of on page 55. They stay in a
and God knows a lot of time saving. Yeah, you know, and that, you know, that's what I use that meal sort of metaphor, where I'm like, that last bite of that meal ain't going to be no better. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't know how to write on page one, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt you're doing it on purpose, but by page 10, I'm like, maybe not. Yeah. You know, unless you're talking through the mind of somebody who's not terribly, you know, who's doing the Holden Caulfield thing or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. That's called indirect discourse, by the way. I thought I invented it, and then I found out that there was a phrase for it, and I'm so mad. I started going, oh, I'm doing this thing where, like, you're kind of over the shoulder of the person. I've never really run into it. Yeah, it's indirect discourse. I'm going home now. So we do have to wrap this up. Y'all know I'll just go on forever and well past the point that anybody would come in and do this. So anything else, so I can wrap this up? And,
well, we
and
actually have another hour and 15 minutes.
I thought this was the 1 hour deal.
It's lunch
hour. It's class is over, but it's lunch now.
Oh, well, I'm going to go eat lunch and get the scab off my nose. So, plus, I have a 2-hour thing coming up that I'd like to read my notes for. So, anything else while you got me before we all clear out?
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you all. Like I said, always, I mean, I love the interact. I feel like a moderator sometimes because everyone has something. The more we air the kind of stuff, the things that work for us, the more options people have to choose from, right? So thank you all for all of your participation.
The fact that my boyfriend is